Morning. Today's daf in Erevin Pehei. We're on the very bottom of Pei Dalad Amud Beis. We're starting this morning with the words Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Yesterday's daf in Erevin, here in the eighth parak of the Masechta, we dealt a lot with competing chatzeres. You have two chatzeres that are adjacent to one another, or as we learned yesterday, they are one is right above the other one's the Elyona, the other one's the Tachtona. Anyway, and they didn't make a joint Erev together. They may have access to one another. They may have a ladder connecting the two of them together, but they didn't make an Erev together. So these chatzeros have a middle ground. There is some middle ground that exists between these two chatzeros, and so that you have a competition between these two chatzeros in terms of who's going to be awarded the rights to this middle ground on Shabbos. And so that was a big part of yesterday's discussion. Yesterday on Pei Dalad Amud Aleph, so going actually all the way back to Pei Gimel Amud Beis, so we have the following scenarios. If I have the access of one of them, where it's an easy access to one of them and a more difficult access to the other one, so if accessibility is anything less than 10 tefachim, so then that's just simply called the Pesach, and we award it to the one who has the status of a Pesach, while the other one has a 10 tefach measurement between them and that middle ground. So then for sure I'm going to award it to the one who is within proximity of 10 tefachim. If, however, let's say both of them are 10 tefachim travel to get to this middle ground, but for one of them it is a descent and the other one's an ascent. The language of the Gemara that we saw yesterday on Pei Gimel Amud Beis is that for one shilshul lowering it down, the other one is zrika, throwing it up. So there, under those circumstances, we saw a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav was of the opinion that shnei masurim, that to both of the competing chatzeros, it's going to be forbidden. Why? Because even though, yes, it's true, when you're working with gravity versus against gravity, so that's easier. Shilshul is easier than zrika. Nevertheless, Rav was of the position that they're both, this middle ground is both in excess of 10 tefachim from the upper and the lower chatzeros. So as a result of that, so Rav says it's awarded to neither of the two parties. Meanwhile, Shita Shmuel, as we saw yesterday, is Nostin Oso Lezeh Shebashoshol. She Lezeh Tashmisha Benachas, Velezeh Tashmisha Bekasha. V'chol Davar She Tashmish Lezeh Benachas, Lezeh Bekasha. Nostin Lezeh She Tashmisha Benachas. So Shmuel gives us a rule, and that is that when I have competing chatzeros over this middle ground, and one is through a descent, through Shilshol, and the other one's through an ascent, through Zrika, so then we're going to be awarding it to the one who is B'Shilshol, and not the one B'Zrika, because it's B'Nachas. It's just simply easier to go ahead and to descend it rather than to ascend. And so therefore, we're going to award it to the one who is in the descent versus the ascent. This is all yesterday's daf. And then for the balance of yesterday's daf, we went through two Mishnayos on the Amud Aleph. The Brisos start on the Amud Aleph as well. Anyway, and the Brisos on the Amud Beis. And we went through an assortment of Mishnayos and Brisos, each one of them either seemingly supporting Rav, or not each one of them, but some of them supporting Rav, some of them supporting Shmuel. And the Gemara's conclusion yesterday was inconclusive. We simply did not have a Mishnah or a Braisa that absolutely supported Rav and Shmuel, i.e. the Machlokas. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Continuing now in our Gemara, we're going to be discussing the following. Same basic idea. We have a middle ground between two competing chatzeros, but over here, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is going to teach us a halacha in which, under certain circumstances, it's going to be awarded to both, and both can make usage of it. Now, just to give a preview to today's daf, basically the idea is as follows. If usage is coming in the form of airspace, so that's not considered competing usage, even though it is obviously usage, but if the only usage you're making of that middle ground is going to be just the airspace of the middle ground, so then we're going to say that under those circumstances, we're not going to necessarily award it to one over the other, and we're going to allow for both of them to use it. Now, generally speaking, if the two chatzeros do not make an error one with another, so then they're going to restrict one on the other for any competing middle ground. However, over here, if the usage is just airspace, so that's not considered, we're not going to award it one over the other. That's the basic idea that we're going to be discussing in most of today's daf. Today's daf, we're going to be dealing with a number of cases. If you have any kind of visual aid, highly recommend it, as the cases over here are going to be very visual in nature. And so, let's begin. So, I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, so now to the top of Pehei Amud Aleph, Bor Shebein, Shtei Chatzeros, I have a well between two Chatzeros. So that means to say I have a chatzer on either side. They are not abutting one another. There is a space between the two chatzers. The chatzers obviously are enclosed by walls. And in the middle ground between these two chatzers, we have a well with water. And so what? And we're going to make an important point over here. And the Bryce is going to say it. Or it's not a Bryce, but Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. He's going to say it as well. And that is the well is at a distance from each of the chatzeres. Again, if you have a picture in front of you, and you're looking at the picture, you see exactly what I'm describing over here. And there's a distance between the each of the chatzeres to the center well. And so the only way that they're going to be able to access that well is only al yedei zrika, by throwing the bucket into the well as well. So, under those circumstances, what do we say regarding now the competing interests of each of the chatzeros to the center well? Good. So bor bein shebein shtei chatzeros. So when I have a pit that's between two wells, muflagas mikosel zeh arba'a, umikosel zeh arba'a. So as we just described, it is now at a distance of four tefachim from each of the chatzeros. Zeh motzi kol shehu umemale, vzeh motzi ziz kol shehu umemale. So I'm sorry. So what each one of them now has to do is give out an extension, some sort of protrusion. And that protrusion now will allow each one of them to carry. I'll explain the protrusion, describe it in more detail in just a moment. Rav Yehuda Didei Amar, now Rav Yehuda, when he quotes this halacha b'shem Shmuel, so he essentially agrees with everything that his Rebbe Shmuel said, but he makes one modification, and that is Amar Afilu Kanya. It does not have to be a ziz, which is a protrusion, but rather it has to be a kanya, which is just a reed. Okay, now these protrusions, or according to Rav Yehuda, this reed that's coming out. So what is that? So it's take a look at Rashi over here, and Rashi describes what we're describing. So Rashi writes over here, Zemot is his koshu. Rashi writes, Memale ad, I'm sorry, Mikaslo ad lebor umemale. So this protrusion, it's just there, says Rashi. Well, we're going to see it inside, but it's basically there as a hecker ba'alma. It's just there as a reminder. The protrusion is going to go from your wall into the pit. Umemale, I'm reading the Rashi. Umemale derech alona, you're going to fill it back in now to your window. V'chol zeh, dekevim demuflegas da'le lo shalte bei le'esor zel zeh. So Rashi over here gives us the fundamental, which is that since this well is at a distance from both of the chatzeros, so therefore it does not create restriction. And this middle area, says Rashi, has no traffic in it whatsoever. So Ella Derech Avir. And the only thing you're interested in is just the airspace to get to the well. Rashi says, look, this ziz, you don't need it, meaning it's not there for any kind of functioning as a wall or as an enclosure. It's just a protrusion. So what we want people to realize and recognize is that the reason why it's okay over here, this middle ground for these two competing chatzeres is okay over here, is because the only thing they're making usage of is the airspace. Okay, but what we want over here is a healthy reminder to people that this case is different than other cases. Under normal circumstances, when two competing chatzeres who did not make a joint eruv together are competing over middle ground, so either it's going to be awarded to one or to neither. That's generally speaking how the rule is going to go. But over here, because they're only interested in the airspace, so under this case, limited case, so it would be okay. So says Rashi, the purpose of the protrusion is to remind each of them that this case is unusual. And Rashi says, and I'm going to remind all of us of what we learned back in Shabbos, in the 11th parak, Sfina, Ravun Amar, Motzei Emunah Ziz Kol Shehu Memale. If you have a boat, so under certain circumstances, remember the boat is a Rishus Yachid, and the water that you're carrying from is a Karmelis. So under most circumstances, you're not allowed to do it. However, under certain circumstances, you're allowed to draw. Umukmina lahasam di enu ella heker ba'ama, de la lacy la tatula mekamlas acheris roshos yachid. So over there was a specific circumstance where you could draw water, but because it was a specific circumstance, so what you needed to do is you needed to just simply put out a protrusion to remind you that this is an unusual circumstance. V'yesh l'gabi milu sphir lay de lav karmelis hi, ella karki osav, aval avira demaya makum paterhu. Remember what we said in the Gemara there in Shabbos. The reason why it's not a Karmelis is because Carmelis is only from the bottom of the water, and Carmelis only goes up 10 tefachim. So to draw from the top of the water, so that does not have Carmelis status. Okay, fine, but just to remind everybody that this is not a Carmelis, and I'm not drawing from a Carmelis into the boat, which is a Rishus Yachid. So therefore, you put out a protrusion. Rashi concludes, the Maya Kaman, the Lesnu Dami. Okay, good. So anyway, so good. So what we're learning together now is that if the two competing Chatzeros are only interested in the middle grounds, their space, so under those circumstances, one would not restrict on the other. They could both make usage of that airspace. And the fact that they're drawing water from the center is also not a problem because it's muflagus, it's at a distance from each of the two. That's considered usage of airspace and only usage of airspace. And as a result, both of them can use it. But because this case is so strange and unusual, a protrusion has to come out from both. And what that protrusion is going to look like, so a minor debate in the Gemara between Rabbi Yehuda and his Rabbi Shmuel. Shmuel says it has to be a ziz, which is a more significant protrusion. Rashi still says it's not four tefachim wide, it's going to be less than four tefachim wide, but according to Rav Yehuda, not even that, it's just simply kanya, it's just simply a reed, is all you need in order to create a heker. Good. Continuing in the Gemara. Amalei by the Rav Yosef, had the Rav Yehuda de Shmuel, he, di'i Rav, ha'amar ein adam osar chaver der chaver. Abai comments to Rav Yosef. This halacha that we just heard, b'shem Rav Yehuda, so it's coming from Shmuel. As we know, we've gone over numerous times, Rav Yehuda was a Talmud, both of Rav and of Shmuel. So when he says over halacha, so sometimes he says over halacha, they learned by Rav and sometimes by Shmuel. So over here, Abai's comment to Rav Yosef is that this halacha that Rav Yehuda reports has to be said b'shem Shmuel. Why? Because I know, says Abai to Rav Yosef, I know that Rav wouldn't even require the protrusion. He would say that the airspace that's shared between these two can be used by both of the chatzeros, even without a protrusion. Now, Udushmo Mehacha. So what we have to do now for a little bit of today's daf, a good amount of today's daf, is just simply establish. How do we know that Shmuel requires a protrusion? How do I know that Rab does not require the protrusion? Good, that's our avoda for today. Let's go. Udushmo Mehecha, now where do I know? How do I know that Shmuel says that no protrusion is necessary? Ilema Mehada Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Gaga Samach L'Rishus Rabim. Sarich sulam kavua lahatiro. So the Gemara says, let's go back to a case that we learned yesterday. So in yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf, so we had a case that was visually complex, right? Architecturally complex. So basically, what we had yesterday was a street running along the side of the house. Now, this street running along the side of the house, so the street was slightly higher than the base of the house, and the house had two floors to it, bottom floor and the top floor. And the top floor had a merpeses, had a balcony protruding out of it. And what we learned yesterday, b'shem Shmuel, is that when the members of the second floor go out to their balcony, so can they now immediately assume rights to the rooftop? They have a ladder that takes them up to the rooftop. Can they assume rights to the rooftop? And what we learned yesterday is yes, but under one circumstance. And that is only if there is a sulam kavua. Only if there's a fixed ladder that sends them from the balcony up to the rooftop. Then and only then can we assume that they're going to have rights to the rooftop. Good. This is what we learned yesterday. Now, this was a case said over by Shmuel. So it has to be Sulam Kavua, Sulam Arayin. Simply does not work. Now, in the context of our Gemara, the Gemara here makes the following assumption. Why do I need a ladder? Because what we have over here is this halacha in which basically we have a competition for the rooftop. Who's competing for the rooftop? Members of the Rishus HaRabim have access to the rooftop as well. As we learned yesterday, well, I'm going to kind of give it away, but as we learned yesterday, what people do let me hold off on that point because that's really going to be the Gemara's answer. Let's assume now that people in the Rishus HaRabim, so they're going to use the rooftop via airspace. Okay? I'll try to explain that better in just a moment. And meanwhile, the people in the balcony also want rights to the rooftop. So if we're just talking about that kind of competition, so who's the rooftop going to be awarded to without a ladder? The answer is neither. It's not going to be awarded to the people of the Merpeses, the second floor of the house, and it's also not going to be awarded to members of the Rishus HaRabim. On the other hand, says Shmuel, that if I have a Sulam Kavua, that sends me from the Merpesas to the roofs up under those circumstances, it's going to be awarded to the people of the Merpesas. Good. That's what we learned in Shmuel yesterday. Now, we bring up the case today again, because what we seems to be is that it's going to be weighing in on our discussion about competing interests over a common area via airspace. Meaning the people in the Merpeset, if they didn't have a ladder, so what does that rooftop represent to them? Usage through airspace. And meanwhile, for the members of the Rishus HaRabim, what does it represent to them? Usage through airspace. So I have now the Gog, which now we have competing interests in that rooftop, and it sounds like that without the ladder, so it's not going to be awarded to neither the people in the Merpeset, nor to the people of the Rishus HaRabim. Good. And this now establishes that according to Shmuel, without the Ziz Kolshu, without the protrusions, we're not going to award it to either of the parties. This, the Gemara says, seems to be the proof for or the source of Shmuel. The Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe the Gemara says, Dilma Kidra Papa. So the Gemara says, because let's remind each other what Rapapa taught us yesterday. Rapapa said that the people in the Rishus HaRabim, they're not just simply using it for airspace. They're actually going to take off their hats and they're going to put it on the rooftop. Meaning that rooftop is running adjacent to the Rishus HaRabim. It's slightly above the Rishus HaRabim, but accessible to the people of the Rishus HaRabim. Remember, the house itself is lower, right? The ground level is lower than the Rishus HaRabim. So the rooftop is in fact accessible to the people of the Rishus HaRabim, and they're actually putting down their hats and their scarves on the top of this rooftop. So it's not just competing airspace, it's usage actual from the people of the Rishus HaRabim, so it doesn't really weigh into our discussion at all. So the Gemara says, fine. So that's not going to be the source of Shmuel. So the Gemara says, okay, let's continue. So what is the source of Shmuel? So Ella, Meha. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe it's from the following. Zeh motzis is kol shuhu memale. Vizeh motzis is kol shuhu memale. So Tamid da'afik, halo afik, arminan adam oser al chaver der chavir. So the Gemara says, where's the source? The source is right over here. Meaning this case that we started off our daf today, where I had the center well that was at a distance of from one chatzir and from another chatzir, and so now how can each of them make usage of the well? The answer is throwing out a protrusion. Without the protrusion coming out, it's not going to be awarded to either of the two. Good. So our case is the source. So the Gemara is fine. Uderab mehecha. So fine. So what we've now established is that we now know that according to Shmuel, when I have a middle ground, and there's competition over that middle ground from two competing chatzeros. So, and the only usage of that middle ground is only through its airspace. Under those circumstances, Shmuel says that in order to allow each of the competing chatzeros to make usage, it has to be there needs to be a hecker. And without a hecker, you cannot make usage of it. Good. And that is Shita Shmuel. Now remember, Abai said to Rav Yosef, I know Rav doesn't agree. I know Rav would say that we're going to award this middle area to both. In other words, when the usage is just airspace, I'm going to award it to both, even without a protrusion. And Abai now, the Gemara wants to know, how would Abai know that? How would Abai know that Rav is of this opinion, that even without a protrusion, you can make usage of it? Uda Rav mehecha. That's the Gemara's next question. Ilema meha. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we can go back to a case also that we discussed in yesterday's daf, and that is, and by the way, we discussed it yesterday. Also, it's coming up in the Mishnah a couple days from now as well. Shtei gezuz tra'os. So I have two balconies, zula mal mizu, one's above the other. And asu mechitza le'elyona, velo asu mechitza le'tachtona, shtei masuros, ad shi'arvu. So this case, let's reset this case as we discussed it yesterday. Basically, I have balconies of two people living in a building. And the building is hovering, the building is right next to a body of water. And so what they would like to do is that they would like to draw their buckets down and draw the water into their houses. Now, in order to do that, so what they need to do is that they need to make a mechitza teluya, a suspended wall. So in other words, their balconies allow them to go over the water, but in order to drop a bucket in through, there's a hole through the balcony. In order to drop a bucket through the hole in order to draw the water up, there needs to be mechitzos. Now, mechitzos teluyos, we pointed this out yesterday, but it's basics, it's fundamental. Mechitzos teluyos, generally speaking, do not allow transfer from one rishus to another, because we generally do not view the hanging walls as if they keep going down. However, over here, because it's accessing water, so as a result of that, so they drop they're more lenient. The chachamim were more lenient and basically view the mechitzas tulus as if they go all the way down, which meikar adin they do go all the way down. Meaning this is the idea of good achis. But anyway, so the mechitzas tulus would be matir. Now over here the case gets more complicated because over here we're looking at two balconies. One's not directly over the other. They are offset one off the other, and only one of the balconies made this partitions, these mechitzas tluyas that go down. And in our particular case, which one made the mechitzas tluyas? The balcony that was higher than the other balcony. So, a halacha that's said over in the Braisa, and that is that if we have such a scenario, so if the two balconies did not make an Eruv, under those circumstances, neither of them can draw water. That's the Braisa. Now, Amarav Huna Amarav, on this Braisa. Now, it's a Mishnah, it's a Braisa. By the way, it's both. Right? Yesterday, the Gemara quoted it as a Braisa. The construct of the case, the basic idea of the case, is coming up on Pei Zion a couple days from now. Anyway, all this now becomes relevant to us in our discussion because of a comment made that by Rav. Amarav Huna Amarav. So Rav Huna quotes Bashem Rav. Lo Shanu. This halacha that we just learned together is only Ella Bismucha, only in a case where the one balcony is in proximity of the other balcony. However, if they are at a distance, one from the other, of anything in excess of four tfachim, so then the upper balcony is allowed to draw water and the lower balcony is not allowed to draw water. So what do we see from over here? What we see over here is that once they are at a distance of one another, and the only thing now that the lower balcony is going to be able to use is just simply airspace. Meaning, how would they be able to take a bucket and get it over to the other balcony, the higher balcony, and get it through the hole? Now, because they're at a distance of greater than four tvachim, the answer is zrika, only by throwing. And and according to Rav, if the only usage you have of somebody else's domain is only ayde zrika, so you're not going to create restriction. This is exactly the point that we are trying to establish. That according to Rav, if it's Tashmish Al Yidei Zrika, so then that's not going to create restriction. And it seems to be that this is an excellent source because we learned the Braisa, the case of the two balconies. We learned the modification of Rav, that when they're Muflegis, when the balconies are at a distance of greater than four Tfachim, so then the lower balcony is not going to create restriction for the upper balcony. And presumably the reason why is because Tashmish Ayide Avir is not considered Tashmish and does not create restriction. Good. So it's a complex argument, but the Gemara says, but once you put all the pieces together, it seems to prove the point. The Gemara says, not necessarily. Dumashaniacha. Maybe it's different. Maybe that case over there cannot weigh in our discussion. Dekeven Delezeh Bizrika Vishosho. The lazeh b'shoshul chudei kelazeh b'zrika v'lazeh b'pesach dami. So the Gemara says, look, maybe over here, let's just look at how each of the owners of each of the balconies are going to be making usage of their mechitza tluya. For the upper balcony, it's really simple. Shoshul, it's just lowering the bucket through the hole which has the hanging walls. So it has the suspended walls. So for him, it's just shilshul. On the other hand, for the lower balcony, first he has to throw zrika. Then it has to be a descent through the suspended walls. So it's not just shilshul, but it's zrika b'shilshul. So the Gemara says, under these circumstances, so what we're going to do is we're going to be awarding it to the upper balcony just simply because it's easier for him. To which the Gemara says, wait 1 second. So Ela mehad amar Rav Nachman amar Rava baravua amar Rav. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to look at a different case. And in other words, what we're trying to establish over here is the following. Where is the source? How do I know that according to Rav, when I have a middle ground and there's competition for that middle ground by two competing chatzeros, or it doesn't have to be chatzeros, but two competing domains over that middle ground, and the only usage they have over it is just simply airspace. It's only Tashmish Ayde Zrika. So under those circumstances, Rav will tell you that you don't need anything. Meaning, Tashrish Ayyidi Zrika does not create any kind of rights whatsoever, does not create any kind of halachic status whatsoever, and so therefore it does not even require a protrusion as these kol shehu. Where do we see that? Where can we clearly see that? This is Rav Shita. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to learn it for now from the following case. We're in the very bottom, Pehei Amad Aleph, Ela Meha. So it comes from the following, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abaravua, Amar Rav. Shnei Batim V'shalosh Chorvos Beinayim. So here we have now another case. And again, if you have pictures over here, really helpful. I have houses on each of the sides, and between the houses, I have three dilapidated houses, Shalosh Chorvos. Rashi says each one of these three houses is owned by nobody. Okay, so abandoned houses. Probably the roofs of these houses aren't even there, right? Just basically the outline of what once was a house. But there are enclosures to each of the houses. And so now, right now, we're going to be assuming that the configuration of these three houses that are in between the two houses, the houses on each of the sides. And let me try to make this clear. If you have a picture, you'll see this. The houses on each of the sides are bound by their own chatzer. So that means to say now that the houses on the sides are competing housings. They're competing chatzeros. And so now, what usage, if any, can they make of the chorvos that are in the middle, of the three chorvos that are in the middle? So, towards the bottom of the Amud Aleph. Zeh mishamish besamach shalo, al yidei zrika, v'zeh mishamish besamach shalo, al yidei zrika. So what we're going to have now is each one of the houses on the sides using the chorva that is most proximate to them. It's Ayide Zrika ve'imsai Usar. Now, as far as the middle dilapidated house is concerned, so that is going to be forbidden. Since that middle house can only be used Ayide Shilshul, meaning the only way it's going to be used is by each of the sides lowering into that middle house, so therefore it's awarded to neither of the two. So the Gemara says, so over here, this would seem to be a proof that Tashmish Ayidei Zrika is not going to be considered a Tashmish. To which the Gemara says, I'm unconvinced. So the Gemara says, Yasiv Rabbona v'kamala Shmaita. So Rabbona goes over this halacha that we just went over and this proof that we just went over. So Amalei Rebbe Eliezer. Now this must be Rebbe Eliezer and Amora. Okay, so it could be that the Gersa is Rebbe Elazar, but either way, Amar Rebbe Elazar bar Bei Rav. So Amar Rav Hachi, so did Rav really say this? Meaning this halacha that we just went over, can we really attribute it to Rav? So I'm Amar Lei in, yeah, what do you mean you could attribute it to Rav? Sure, what do you mean? Yes. So Achve Lei Ushpize. So Rebbe Elazar says, I got to ask him myself. Obviously, these are Amarim who lived in the same generation as Rav. And he says, I'd like to have a conversation with him. Okay, good. So Achvelei showed him where he lived. So also, Lekami Rav Amarlei, Ma Amar Marhachi. So Rav Elazar asked him directly, did you say that? Amarlei, and he says, yep, I said that. So Amarlei, V'amarhu Da'amar, L'zeb Shushal, L'zeb Zrika Shnei Masurim. He says, I don't understand. You were the one, going back to yesterday's daf, who said that if there is a challenge for each of the competing chaseros to get into a middle ground, and even if for one it's slightly easier than the other, so you were the one who taught us yesterday that your position is that's going to be awesome. So under those circumstances, so I don't understand. So over here, if we have now these three center dilapidated houses, and it is accessible to each of the chaseros on each of the sides, so shouldn't we be awarding it according to you to none of the members of each of the chatzeros? So he says, I'm not really following. So Amalei, so Rav says back to Rebbe Elazar, mitzvah is the kaima kashura. He says, well, look, you heard the case, you learned the case, but what you didn't do is you didn't fully understand what the case was talking about. Meaning you were of the impression that these three dilapidated houses were all in a row. He says, that's not true. Mitzvah is the kaima kashura lo. He says that's not the case, but rather Ella, rather Dekaimi Kechatsuva. So the three dilapidated houses look like a jug. So over here, you need a little bit of imagination, a little bit of creativity in order to understand what exactly the case looks like. Again, if you have a picture in front of you, so you don't need imagination, you just need simply to look at the picture. And what you're going to find in the picture is basically what we have over here is that we have the three dilapidated houses that are in their center. They're not in a row, but rather one of them is being shared by two of the houses on two sides of the on two of its sides. Meaning to say that for one of the dilapidated houses, there actually is a direct competition between the two. And then, as far as the other two dilapidated houses, so each one of them is abutting to only one of the other chaseros. Again, if you have a picture, you'll see exactly what I'm looking at over here. That's the case under discussion. So this doesn't pose a difficulty whatsoever, nor does it necessarily prove Tashmish Ayideh Avir is in fact going to be considered Tashmish. Okay, so the Gemara at this point in time, a lot of cases, a lot of back and forth. The Gemara continues. We're going to go back to Shmuel's halacha, that when you're using a middle area where you have competing chatzeres for that middle area, and under those circumstances, you want to make just use of the airspace and only the airspace. So Shita Shmuel is that the only way you can make usage of it is through a protrusion. You need a ziz. Machlokes between Shmuel and his Talmud Rav Yehuda. Shmuel says it has to be a protrusion. Rav Yehuda says it could be even just a reed, whatever. Something has to go out there to remind each other that the only reason why it would be okay in this case is because we're only interested in Tashmish Ayideh Zrika. Amle Rav Papa Rava Lema Shmuel Leisle de Rav Dimi. So the Gemara now, a discussion between Rav Papa and Rava, and that is, it seems like Shmuel is incompatible with the Shita of Rav Dimi. What Shita of Rav Dimi? Dichi Asa Rav Dimi. I'm Rav Yochanan, Malkum She'ein Bo, Arba'a al Arba'a. If I have an area on Shabbos that it's not 4x4 Tfachim, and it is 10 Tfachim high, we call that a Malkum Pater. So Mutal of Nevi Shos HaRabim of Nevi Shos HaYachid, Lekatef Alav of Avashah Lo Yachalifu. This halacha we've seen already numerous times. And that is the idea that a Malkum Pater, so one can transfer from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a Malkum Pater. One could transfer from a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin to a Malkum Pater. The only thing one is not allowed to do is Yachalifu, is that basically use the Malkum Pater as a conduit, as a middleman, in order to transfer from a Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. So one step one can do, but two steps one cannot do. Now, the reason why is because the Malkum Pater is exactly that. It is a Malkum Pater. It is halachically not a domain. So as a result of that, there is no Isser, not even Midrabanan, to transfer from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a Malkum Pater, nor is there any Isser, not even Midrabanan, to transfer from Rosh Hashanah Rabbin to a Malkum Pater. However, if it is just simply a vehicle to allow you to carry from Rosh Hashanah Rabbin to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, technically that's fine, but obviously once you get comfortable with that idea, so then you're going to take out the middleman and you're going to carry directly from the Rosh Hashanah Yachid to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. Good. Now over here, the Gemara is bothered because basically what we're looking at is making usage of that area above the Malkum Pater, and that's basically halachically viewed as airspace. And didn't you say, Shmuel, that if you want to make usage out of airspace, so that would be okay, but only with a protrusion. With no protrusion, you can't use the airspace. So the Gemara says, so isn't Rav Dimi's halacha incompatible with the Shita of Shmuel? The Gemara says, not necessarily. Hasam Rishuyos Daraisa, Hacha Rishuyos Darabanan. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily, because over here we're talking about Chatzeros, which is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. We're talking about a middle ground, which is also Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And so over here we're in the world of the Rabbanans, carrying from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another Rosh Hashanah Yachid, when they're owned by different people. That's all Dinei Darabanan. And so for the Chacham to fortify, to strengthen their rabbinic legislation, so therefore, under those circumstances, protrusions needs to go out. But over here, to carry from a Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a Malkum Pater, or from a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin to a Malkum Pater, so now we're talking about Rishuyos Min HaTorah, and to carry from a Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin would be an Isser Dar Raisa. So therefore, no protrusions need to go out under these circumstances. The Chachamim did not feel the need to reinforce the Isser Dar Raisa. Masha'inkin, when it comes to their own legislation, we find this throughout Shas, so sometimes asu chizuk l'divrayim. They need to fortify their takanas, their rabbinic legislation. Amar Ravina l'Rava mi'amar Rav Hachi. the Gemara now goes back to the Shita of Rav. So in the Shita of Rav is that when I'm using just airspace, when it's Tashma Shalite Zrika, you don't need any protrusion whatsoever. So the Gemara says, let's ask a question according against Rav. The Itmar, the Gemara says, don't we have the following scenario? Shnei batim, mishnei tzidei rishus harabim. I have two houses that are opposite one another with the rishus harabim in the middle. Rabba baravuna amar rav. So the Gemara quotes, b'shem rav, asur lizrok zeh lezeh. Ushmul amar muta lizrok mizeh lezeh. Is one allowed to throw from one domain to the other domain, one private domain to the other private domain, even though the area of the rishus harabim is in the middle? Now, to go through the rishus harabim would be nesed araisa. However, to throw above, so that is a makam pater, the area above. So is one allowed to throw? So Rav says one is not allowed to throw. So the Gemara says, okay, now over here, didn't Rav say that if it's Tashma Shalite Zrika, there's no problem to it whatsoever? Amalei lami ukimna demad lechad umatasechad zimnin de migandar v'nafel v'asal esuye. So the Gemara says, well, we're not talking about an easy throw. The openings between the two opposing houses or the two opposing chatzeros are not facing one another. It is not going to be just as simply an easy throw to get from one side to the other. And by the way, with the Rishus HaRabim in the middle, the Rishus HaRabim is 16 amos wide. So you're talking about a throw of approximately 30 feet. Okay, anyway, but to make it even more difficult, to make it even more challenging, what we're describing over here is where the is where they're not even facing one another. The openings are not facing one another. The concern would be is that you didn't make it into the other Rishus HaYachid, you didn't make it into the other Chatzir. It hit the wall, it landed in the Rishus HaRabim, and then you're going to forget yourself and you're going to pick it up and you're going to carry it from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaYachid. So over there, the case is different over there because there's a good reason for the Chachamim to make a Gzera in such a scenario. Okay, we're up to the Mishnah. Mishnah really starts us with a new topic. I understand there's a little bit more of the dap to go, but we'll pause over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Mishnah, and we'll start a topic anew. Okay, again, tomorrow also a good day to bring any kind of picture book if you can. A number of cases tomorrow that are very visual in nature. Let's quickly recap our daf today. Today, a continuation of yesterday's daf. Yesterday we were talking about chatzeros that did not make an eruv one with the other, and you have middle ground that is up for grabs in terms of who is going to be gaining rights to that middle ground. So yesterday we discussed it and debated between Rav and Shmuel. And today, a continuation and a development of this discussion, and that is that if I'm not you interested in the middle ground, but I'm interested in the middle airspace. Tashma Shayidei Avir, Tashma Shayidei Zrika. So what do we say under those circumstances? So it comes out that in general, we're going to be more lenient. And in general, we're going to be saying that if all your usage is just through the airspace, it does not create restriction. The only debate that we had in the course of today's daf was the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel allows for both competing chatzeros to make use of that middle ground where I'm interested only in the airspace of the middle ground. But according to Shmuel, only when a protrusion goes out. In other words, just take a pole or a beam and put it out there just as a hecker, just to remind each other that it's okay in this circumstance because I'm only interested in the airspace. Exactly what needs to go out. So we saw a machlokas between, two opinions between Shmuel and his Talmud, Rav Yehuda. Shmuel says it has to be an actual 2x2 or 1x1. It's got to be a wooden pole. Mashenkin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, just Kanya Balma, just has to be a reed that goes out there. Good. And Rav is of the opinion that Tashmish Ayde Zrika is not considered Tashmish, and according to Rav, you don't even need the hecker. And what we did over the course of today's daf is that we went over, how do we know that according to Shmuel I don't need a hecker? How do I know according to Shmuel I do need a hecker? How do I know that according to Rav I don't need a hecker? So we established where is the sourcing of these halachas, B'Shem Rav, B'Shem Shmuel, and furthermore, a couple of challenges that were posed to Shmuel, a couple of challenges that were posed to Rav, and the Gemara defended each of the positions. Ad Kan.